certainly enjoyed Brother Mark's preaching. I want to just add a few thoughts to what he's brought to our attention. Near the conclusion of his discourse, he dealt with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let's back up a little bit there in that expression. 2 Timothy 1, Paul writes to the young preacher and said, "Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us." And that's talking about the saving of us from our sins by the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. God has saved and called us. He's called us. Now, this calling is an effectual call.
Amen.
That's when the voice of the Son of God speaks and the dead hear that voice and they live. He's called us with a holy call. Now, let me explain that a holy calling can only come from a holy God.
Amen.
A holy calling cannot come through an unholy channel. If it begins from a holy place or a holy one, and it comes through an unholy channel, it will become unholy in the channel. That makes sense? I have had some experience working on dairy farms. And there's certain things that are required in order to get the milk to the processing plant before it spoils, before it's ruined. One of the important things is that you have the pipeline that goes from the milking machine to the bulk tank where the milk is stored, clean, disinfected, perfectly free of contamination. If you contaminate that pipeline, the milk will become contaminated and it will spoil in the bulk tank. I believe Brother Larry's had some experience along this line. That's the reason if you go to a dairy farm, that pipe that goes from where the cows are milked out of the milk barn into the milk room where there's cleanness will either be made of glass or stainless steel, because those two materials are easy to clean and easy to tell if they're clean. You don't ever find them made out of black steel. You don't ever find them made out of rubber or PVC plastic. They're either glass or stainless steel so that they can be easily cleaned and disinfected, because clean milk will become unclean if it goes through a dirty pipe and going to the tank. All right? Now, if the calling of God came through a preacher, it would develop the impurity of the preacher in the delivery system, and by the time it got to the hearer, it would no longer be holy. I deal with the holy word of God. I deal with the word of God that is pure, that is given us from God. But when I get through delivering it, it's not quite so pure as it is as it's written in the book. I even sometimes make mistakes in reading scripture when I try to read it to a congregation. I'll skip a word, I'll miss a word, I'll insert a word. I don't do it on purpose, but it happens. Don't see it as clearly as I would love to sometimes. Make a mistake in my reading, and it's not pure even when I get through reading it out loud sometimes, because it's channeled through an impure, unholy, fallen man. So the gospel call comes through the preacher, and it can't be a holy call. But the effectual calling of God is a holy call. Now see what happens here. Let's get this again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy call." I tell you, it's that holy calling that comes directly from God that translates us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. God has done that, all right? It's a holy call. It takes a holy calling to give life, eternal life. Holy call. Now, let's get another thought along that line. Well, Quarles has dealt with the question of can the understanding of the gospel be a requirement for the new birth? Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I don't remember the number of the verse, but about 3 or 4 verses from the end of the chapter. 1 John chapter 5. We know that the Son of God is come. Now I'm going to tell you that the Son of God has come in the flesh. That He was born of the Virgin Mary. That He lived upon the earth about 33 and a half years. That He was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended back to the Father. That's a coming of the Son of God. We're looking for the Son of God to come again in the flesh. But there is a coming of the Son of God in spirit that occurs at the moment of the new birth. When the Son of God comes to us in a personal way. Me at one time, you at another time. Now, some things God has done for us, He's done for all of us at the same time. But the quickening here, the effectual calling takes place with each of us at a particular time for individuals. I wasn't born again the same day the Apostle Paul was. And you weren't born again. A lot of you weren't born again the same day I was. If indeed I have, and I think I have been. But we're born again when the Son of God comes to us, individually. But now notice what He said. That we know that the Son of God has come and hath given, He didn't sell and He didn't offer, He gave unto us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And that we may know Him that is true. I tell you, we can't know God until the Son of God comes to us and gives us an understanding. Now let's go to John 17. John 17 verse 1. The Lord lifted His eyes up to heaven and He prayed. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may also glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him, the Son, power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Who did He give that power? He gave it to the Son. Now, He didn't give it to the preacher. He didn't give it to the church. He didn't give it to the fallen sinner. He gave it to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power or authority, if you will, to give eternal life to each individual that the Father had given the Son. When did He give them to the Son? In a covenant before the world was.
Amen.
And when did He give the Son the authority? He gave it to Him when He gave Him the children. But when does He exercise the authority? At the moment they're born again, He exercises that authority for each individual. Now, I don't know when I was born again, but if I have indeed been born of the Holy Spirit of God with a holy calling or by a holy calling, it was when Jesus exercised the authority that God gave Him to quicken me. You understand? All right, now let's get the rest of this. John 17, verses 1 and 2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is eternal life. This is the essence of it. This is the substance of it. This is the beauty of it, the glory of it, if you will. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Thy Son whom Thou hast sent. The Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, which is the very essence of eternal life. It's Jesus' definition of eternal life in the prayer to his Father. Amen. That they might know him. Now I'm telling you, when he came to us, he gave us, at the same time he gave us that life, he gave us that understanding, the ability to know God.
Yeah.
He gave us that faculty of life that we might know God. All right? Now, if we had to know God, believe on God, believe God in order to get eternal life, we'd never get there. Because we don't know God until we have eternal life, see? You can't believe in a God you don't know. You can't do that. It's impossible. Well, let's get another. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. St. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is. Now this is the word of our Lord. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. I worked with a lady one time. Good woman. Hard working woman. But she had a little bit of streak of rebelliousness about her. And she and our boss didn't get along very well. One day he had us all gathered up chewing on us, which he loved to do once in a while. Seemed like he liked to do it awfully regularly, actually. But they had the dreaded after school teachers meeting, and he's in there giving us down the river. Because we weren't getting enough done. We weren't working hard enough. We needed to be to work earlier, and we needed to stay later, and we needed to do a better job with this and a better job with that. And this lady, she was older than the rest of us, and she got enough of that. And she held up her hand and interrupted him, and she said, "You're getting your money's worth with me." He said, "If that's all we're getting, we'd just soon you go home." There's absolutely no profit in an employee if you only get your money's worth. Just let's keep our money. We didn't hire you just to get what the value of what we pay you from. We expected to gain in the bargain. And you know that's true. I got a fellow working for me at home, and I expect. I've been trying for 12 years to make a profit on that fellow. I don't know if I ever have. Brother Mark and Brother John Mark, they've had some experience with him. They know about what I deal with every day. But my anticipation is that I'll make some profit from him. That's the reason I hired him. He's not very good company. He really is not. And he's rather irritating some days to have to deal with. When I first hired him, a lot of days he didn't even smell very good. But, you know, there was the hope. We're making some progress in some fronts. But there was the hope of some profit. But look at this now. In the matter of us being born again, in the matter of us being quickened, it is the spirit that does the work. And the flesh is of no profit. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, old Wayne, that works for me, old Baptist all across the South know about Wayne. A few of them have met him. I use him almost weekly for a point. He's very profitable for points. Old Wayne, when he first came to work for me, he's been there longer, he's getting older, he's not as stout as he used to. He was strong. He could move a load, and he was willing to do it. And if I had something really heavy to be moved, I'd get way out on the end of it and say, "Wayne, get a hold and let's see if we can do this." And old Wayne would hook up, and we mostly he, could move a pretty good chunk of mass because he was strong enough to do that. He was profitable for that. But I'm telling you, brethren, that all humanity can do to help God quicken a sinner who is dead in sins avails absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I don't want to be offensive this afternoon. I don't want to be ugly. But I'm telling you, there are millions and perhaps billions of dollars being spent by good, honest, well-intentioned, zealous people whose zeal and whose love and whose charity are an excellent pattern for you and me to look at and learn from. But they're spending millions, perhaps billions of dollars thinking that they shall help the Lord quicken sinners, and they're spending their money in vain. It is not accomplishing what they're trying to accomplish. Now, I have no objection to God-fearing people spending their money, giving of their time and their service to further the cause of the kingdom of God, to relieve the suffering poor of the world, or to do all that they can for their fellow man. I have absolutely no objection, but please understand, if you're doing that in order to help God save sinners, you're wasting that part of that effort. Because the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, as I understand that, God does it. And anything in the world we might try to do to assist God is of absolutely no value. Now, I told you about Wayne helping me pick up heavy things. But one of the most important tools that we use on our operation is a three-hole ring-bound notebook. Just a little old piece of paper. And now, I had Wayne in class. I was a teacher when he was a student. And I didn't help him much, okay? And nobody else helped him. But when Wayne goes to town for me and buys something, he prints his name on the ticket. He cannot sign his name in cursive writing. And he always spells it with a small W, a small A, a large Y, and a small N and a small E. That's kind of his place in academic ability. Very, very limited, all right? Wayne's absolutely no help with the notebook. All right, I don't need him. I can keep a notebook. I never have handed Wayne the notebook and said, here, carry this for me for a while. It's getting too heavy for me. Now, if I'm carrying a 5-gallon can of fuel, I'll swap off with him after a while. If I'm carrying something heavy, I'll say, Wayne, your turn. If I'm running a post driver or a sledgehammer, I'll say, Wayne, it's your turn. And he's willing. But the notebook, I don't need any help with that. I got it, okay? When it comes to the matter of quickening sinners, it is as though Jesus would say, I got it. You all just rest. I don't need you.
Right.
I got it. Relax. Enjoy it. Believe that I'm able to do it. The Spirit quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Let me get one more quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This beautiful chapter that deals with how people come to understand and realize that they've been saved by the mercy of God. And Paul goes down through this chapter as he's as he's begun it by saying that his heart's desire in prayer to Israel is that prayer to God for Israel is that. See, I slipped right there. That took all the holiness out of this. I said, I had Paul praying to Israel, didn't I? He wasn't praying to Israel. He's praying for Israel, to God for Israel. That they might be saved. He's not talking about being born again. He's talking about being delivered to an understanding of what God has done for them so that they may rest from their labor. All right? So as he comes down through that, he said, how can they believe without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, and so forth. And then he says, and I'm not going to try to read it. I'm not going to try to quote all of it. I want this part. So then, faith cometh by hearing. Now, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. But there is a faith that was once delivered to the saints, and that's not that faith which is the fruit of the Spirit. There is a faith that God gives in regeneration that is the fruit of the Spirit, and that enables us to know God and to know His Son, and to believe in the holiness of God, and to believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But there is another faith that comes as a belief of the gospel occurs. Amen. I call it gospel faith. I do not believe that's a scriptural expression, but it helps me to define what this faith's talking about. And that's when we come to a point that we believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, in the first chapter of Romans, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said to the disciples in John 14. As we hear the gospel preached, we who have faith in God, who believe that God is, who believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, grow to believe that Jesus is our complete and full Savior. And we move from a point of having just that faith which is a fruit of the Spirit, out of having a faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn these things through the gospel. So now Paul in Romans 10, as he's talking about the benefit of the gospel, he said that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the gospel preached. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ comes by hearing the gospel. Brother Mark quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, that God has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If God has shined a light upon that in your life, and you've seen how that light, life and immortality is yours by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a gift of grace, it is that light that shines that causes you to believe this and rest your case upon that which God has done. All right, so that faith comes by hearing the gospel. And then he says, and hearing by the word of God. He doesn't say hearing the word of God. He says hearing by the word of God. Now, that expression needs some work. We need to rightly divide this, and I'm going to try to do that for you, and you go home and prayerfully consider what I said, because I, you know, there might be somebody who would disagree with me, and that's okay. If they're genuine in it, I'll love them and disagree with them. But here's where I understand it. That hearing here means the ability to hear. What do you lose when somebody goes deaf? What do they lose? They lose their ability to hear. They lose their hearing, right? My hearing's not quite as good as it once was, probably. Wayne's hearing's really bad. Just to update you on that front. His hearing's getting really bad. All right? Hearing comes. Now the word comes is not in there. We have a compound sentence, two clauses, and only one verb. Both clauses in a compound sentence have to have a subject and a verb. The English language requires that. And if one of them does not include a subject or a verb, but it's obviously a compound sentence, you look to the other clause and bring that subject or that verb over to the clause that doesn't have it. That's the way we do the English language. Right? All right. So there's no verb in the second clause. Faith cometh by hearing. Cometh is the verb in the first clause. And hearing by the word of God. There's no verb there. Hearing there is used as a noun. The ability to hear. So there's no verb in the second clause. So where do we get it? We get it out of the first clause. So it's cometh. Hearing cometh by the word of God. What word are we talking about? We're not talking about the gospel here. We're talking about the spoken word of God. And when is it that the word speaks and gives us, or the word is spoken to us by God and gives us the ability to hear? It's when we're born again in the effectual call. Now, that's not the only place that the word of God is used in that way. Hebrews chapter 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, and it was so. Remember that? Same usage of the word here in Romans 10. So then faith cometh, gospel faith, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, comes by hearing the gospel preached. But the ability to hear the gospel preached comes when God speaks to us and says, live. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's God that quickeneth. Ephesians 2 chapter 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. God doesn't go around quickening folks that are already alive. He quickens the dead.
Right.
Preachers can't touch the dead. Preachers can't do anything for the dead. I tell you, you hear some strange things when you're standing at the head of a casket and the family's coming by viewing their loved one for the last time. I've heard folks apologize for things. I've heard folks make promises. I've heard folks utter expressions. And the only problem with all that is it ought to have been done before death. It's too late when they're in the casket. You owe somebody an apology. Don't wait till they die to make it.
Amen.
You want to express your love for someone. Don't wait till they're gone to do it. It's too late then. I'm telling you, my friend, God can speak to the dead.
Amen.
And the dead hear when God speaks.
Amen.
And if God says to the dead, live, they live, my friend.
Amen.
Everyone that hears the voice of the Son of God lives. When he speaks to the dead.
Amen.
I thank God today. At some point in my life, God touched me and gave me the ability to hear the gospel. And then I was carried as a child to hear old brethren preach the message of the sovereign love and the sovereign grace of an almighty and all-powerful eternal God. And I was blessed by the preaching of the gospel to believe that Jesus is my Savior and that he's done all for me that needs to be done. And I have a hope of seeing him face to face, looking upon his face in peace some happy day because of the beauty of the truths that I've heard preached and have rung true with my soul. They've rung true in my soul.
Amen.
And I tell you today, if the gospel message touches your heart, it's because God has spoken to you. That blessed message lives, and you've lived.
Amen.
And you have a life in Christ and a hope of living with him when time is no more.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if this hope is yours, heaven is your home. No poor sinner has ever had this hope and then missed heaven. It can't happen. All who have this hope will experience the reality of it by and by. I thank you for your good name.